Good morning. Good morning, everybody. If you want to grab a seat, that'd be fantastic. Couple things before we get into things. Some of you're just, we're seeing you for the first time. You've come back after summer away, and we want to say welcome back. We missed you. And how was the cruise, Wally?
Awesome.
Unreal.
All the way, been
Wally and Heather had their 2020 cruise postponed till 2025. So we're grateful they got to go and enjoy the Alaska coastline and so forth. And want to throw out a special welcome. My cousin Dale and his wife Debbie are here from Ontario today. Can we give a warm welcome to those guys? Also, just want to shout out to Dan Schmidt. Dan is helping facilitate an event at Hillside this coming Friday, Faith-Driven Entrepreneur. Great event that's being actually simulcast at 600 locations around the world, and Hillside's going to be one of them on Saturday or Friday morning. Including lunch. Great opportunity for people who are reflecting on how to do business and be a Christian and how to integrate faith and work and so forth. And it sounds like it's going to be really good. Have I missed anything there, Dan? You need to register like right away, and because it's happening this Friday. Also, just want to pause and pray this morning. Know that this week it hasn't taken much to look at the world around us and to know that it's been a difficult week, that it seems like, as I've been thinking about it, it's tilted towards madness once again. And we see violence and division. We think of what's happening not just south of the border and assassination, but we think about what continues to happen in places like Gaza and in Ukraine and other parts of the world that we don't even know of. Maybe you do. And in these moments, we do at least a couple of things. We lament and grieve over loss and violence. I think we go, the world is not as it should be, and God understands that, and we pray our pain in a sense. We pray out our anguish over the things that are wrong in the world, and it's a good thing to do. The second thing we do is we actually pray that God's mercy would be poured out on those places and people. And we believe God longs to bring healing to a broken land. And so can we just do that this morning? Just real briefly, I'm going to invite you to pause and open up our hearts in prayer. Lord, before we dive into your word today, we want to just stop and we want to consider all that's going wrong in the world, and we say, how long, oh Lord, how long? Lord, we're tired of news headlines that just highlight tragedy and loss and violence and hurt and unspeakable damage to the world. And so we call on you this morning and we say, have mercy, O God. Would you stretch out your hand and would you bring healing? Would you stop fighting? Would you end conflicts, Lord? I pray for those who are grieving today and those who are hurting and they're experiencing such terrible things, and we can't even empathize in many ways. But we bring those parts of the world and those peoples to you this morning. And so just pause for a moment in your own mind. Maybe lift up a conflict or some situation that you're aware of and bring it to Jesus, just in this space, in quiet. Again, we pray, have mercy, O God, have mercy. And in these next minutes together, we invite you into the space and we pray, open us up to your will and your way. I pray you'd speak to us and lead us, we ask. Would you do that by your grace and because of your love? We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. so good that you're all here this morning. And I want to start by just talking about this one word, this one of my favorite words. It's this word, connected. We actually, this morning, Dan introduced us, and if you're new here, we invite you to fill out a connect card because we want to help you get connected. Connected, from my point of view, or connection, is this whole idea of turning strangers into friends. And the interesting thing is we live in a world that is more connected than it has been in any other point in history. With the touch of a screen, we can reach someone across the side of the world, the other side of the world. We can send messages instantly. We can FaceTime with friends and family in other countries. We can stay in touch with childhood friends we haven't seen maybe in decades or eons. And yet, in spite of all of this digital connectedness, study after study after study tells us that people are lonelier, more anxious, and more isolated than ever. It's a paradox, isn't it? We're connected, but we're not deeply connected. The Bible reminds us that we were created for connection, but not just surface level or virtual, but deep and embodied and life-giving connection. Connection with God, connection with others to help us connect them to God, and connection with one another in a community of faith. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me," and to paraphrase, Jesus could be saying, if you stay connected to me and I stay connected in you, if I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's really the heartbeat of today's message. We are made for connection, and we'll explore different ways to connect today. First, connecting with God. The most important connection we have in life is with God Himself. Jesus calls this abiding in Him, staying close, drawing life from God as a branch draws life from a vine. Not too long back, a young dad I know was taking care of his kids, and his wife had been running kind of on empty. So he suggested to his tired and kind of worn out wife that she take off with a friend for a night or two. And he thought she'd be resistant to the idea. She was so burnt out. She's like, I'm going, like almost instantly. And yet though, she gives him like the 17 things that he needs to do to like this long list to take care of their 3-year-old son and infant daughter. Not long after she left, the chaos started. She needed changing, and the boy began melting down, and soon both kids are crying, and mealtime was just a disaster, and I think bedtime was worse. Is this triggering for anybody? Like anybody? I think we have some parenting trauma still, don't we, hon? But at one point, this little boy looked at his dad and said, "Life's just hard without Mom." Isn't that true of us and God? Isn't that what Jesus came saying? That life is hard without Him. All throughout Scripture, we're reminded that we were created for just deep and intimate connection with the God who made us. As David says in Psalm 42:7, he says, "Deep calls to deep," which means the deepest part of us reaches out for the deepest part of reality, which is the God of the universe. Or as Paul says in Acts 17:28, "For in Him," in God, "we live and move and have our being," which means that He is our source of life, and without Him, we run dry. We lose heart, we lose joy, we lose peace and strength. I would say that loneliness is part of that ache. As Mother Teresa said, she said, loneliness is the leprosy of our modern day. And I'd say everybody has journeyed with loneliness. We all know that experience very, very well. Whether you're a student or a stay-at-home parent, or a busy professional, or a retired person, or a grieving person, a widow or a widower, or even a pastor who's ministering to people all the time. Loneliness can be one of the most common experiences, but also one of the most hard experiences we all go through. And it has a spiritual dimension. To quote Mother Teresa again, she said, "There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It is not only a poverty of loneliness, but also of spirituality. There's a hunger for love as there is a hunger for God." So we've got this condition, we've got this trouble, we've got this problem in our world. We experience this firsthand. Enter the good news. God offers us friendship. He offers the deepest kind of connection, not religion, not cold duty, but friendship. Natasha led us through this passage in John 15, where Jesus says this astounding, paradigm-shifting thing to his disciples. He said, I've no longer called you servants, I've called you friends. Like, who says that? You're God incarnate, you're God in the flesh, and you're saying, you're not my servants, you're my friends. When I was 19, I spent 6 months at a Bible college in England, a place called Capenray in the north. And that 6 months were transformational for me. I acquired a taste for a number of things that are British, not mushy peas. No one in the world has acquired a taste for mushy peas, I just want to say. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Like, mushy peas just sound bad, don't they? But surprise, I actually fell in love with this chocolate called Bourneville. It's a dark chocolate that I savored every bite that I had when I was in England. And now my dear friends, like Hazel, for example, whenever she goes to Ireland or to the UK, I send her on a mission. I just say it now. All I have to say is, Bourneville. I don't even have to tell her. She just brings me chocolate. It's just a beautiful gift. I love Hazel more than most of you. Maybe the biggest surprise was Marmite. I mean, you know Australians have Vegemite? He's actually tried Vegemite, obviously. Marmite is this, like, I think it's made of bacteria, basically. I think it's like, and it's a spread that you put on toast, and it is, when I first had it, it was terrible. But after 6 months, I acquired a taste for it. And now when I occasionally bring out the Marmite and it feels like home, it's twisted, I know. What transformed me most during that 6 months that I spent in England, actually, was this kind of theme that was woven through, it seemed like through every lecture, through every talk that I heard, this Bible college seemed to have this focus on this one theme. And it was this. When I looked back on my 6 months, when I was ready to leave this property, I had this sense that this is what God was saying to me. I want a friendship with you. God wants a friendship with you. That changed everything. That reframed my entire idea of what a relationship with God could look like. I grew up with the idea, and I picked it up along the way. I don't think anybody meant it. I think actually, friendship was on the table for me even as a child, but the message I got was God is up there and he's distant and uninterested in me. Or maybe even more, God is up there and he's actually kind of mad at me. That was some of what I had growing up. I don't know, anyone kind of picked that up along the way? Or God is distant and he's watching me, as Bette Midler famously sang, you know, years ago. Catchy song, really bad theology. God is watching you from a distance. And I discovered along the way that God wasn't satisfied with being at a distance in our life. Jesus, the incarnation, really proves that. But that God wants closeness with us. I think friendship, the idea of friendship, is a helpful analogy when it comes to thinking about how we relate to God. Because all of us, I think, have an idea of what friendship is. We may be in seasons where we have loads of friends, and we have seasons where we may feel friendship deprived, but we know what a friend is. Think about what friendship means. A friend is someone that you enjoy spending time with, right? Like at its foundations. Someone you trust, someone you can count on during the hard days, someone who will celebrate with you during the good days. And if that's true in our human relationships, how much more in our walk with God? I'd say a friend shapes who you are, like just by being with them. And that's why it's important for us to choose good friends. Proverbs talks a lot about, like, bad company corrupts good character. Like, choose who you are spending time with, right? Because friendships change us. For example, a friend says something that really hits home and it turns our thinking upside down. Or a friend poses a difficult question no one else would dare ask us, and it leads to discoveries about ourselves we otherwise wouldn't have made. And if this happens just naturally in human friendships, think of how much more our friendship with God can change the way we live and think. As Tim Keller once said, he said, we resemble the God that we worship. The other beautiful thing about friendship with God is that it isn't instant. It's a journey. Just like with a friend, it grows over time. Like as we get to know them, as we share our lives with him and discover more of his heart with us, for us, I should say. I love the fact that that if you're a new Christian or if you're just exploring faith, that there's just, I mean, like think of a friendship where it's you're just at the acquaintance level, but there's the promise of more, and you go, I kind of like that. Think about the potential of that. Think about that with God. And if you're far along down the road and you've been a follower of Jesus for many, many years, get this, because God is infinitely good and infinitely mysterious, there's always more to know. You'll always grow in your relationship with him, and you'll learn things as you have experience with God over many, many years and decades, and there'll be depths to the friendship that can come. And so the depth, the deepest longing of our hearts is met when we have a transforming friendship with God. And I tell you, friends, after nearly 30 years as a pastor, I would say each of us has a friendship-shaped hole inside each of our hearts. And so at Hillside, we as our leaders, we continue to ask how we can press into this value of friendship with God as a community. How can we grow together as friends with God? Let me offer a couple suggestions of what we're hoping to do in this season, and also that is culture shaping in terms of the kind of church we're going to be. First is this: one of the things that we continue to do is say no to things, even good things. Yeah, I've said this many times, but our vision is not to become a busy church for even busier people. Right? Like we actually have a kind of a simple church model where we try to do not a ton of things, just a few things. Why? Because we want to leave enough spaciousness in your life so that you can do the things that matter most. Loving God and loving your neighbor. I think there are churches that at times squeeze out those two main things. Like, that's what we're meant to be doing. Henry Nouwen was speaking to pastors in his book, The Way of the Heart, when he said this. He said, our task is the opposite of distraction. Our task is to help people concentrate on the real but often hidden event of God's presence in their lives. So part of my job, part of our elders' job, is to help you grow in your capacity to say no to distraction so that you can have space in your life to notice God's presence in your life. We say no so we can say yes. Secondly, growing a friendship with God is one of the reasons next week, as Christine talked about this morning, we're starting our series on hearing God. Because, I don't know if you've noticed this, but communication is essential for friendship. I I've been married for a long time now, with 33 years. And admittedly, I am a slow learner, like really slow. But I have learned this. If I want to grow my marriage, there's two ingredients that really, really help. One is listen to what's going on inside of her. Listen to her. Secondly, share what's going on inside of me, like getting vulnerable and actually being open about who I am and what I'm going through. Not communicating doesn't work with marriage. Not communicating doesn't work for friendship. So should we be surprised that not communicating doesn't work for a relationship with God either? Like, he wants to speak into our lives, and we want to hear, and we want to speak about our lives and open up ourselves to him. And so I'm excited about the lessons we're going to learn this fall as we learn to listen to God and hearing God in new ways and seeing our friendship grow and flourish through hearing him. I love that. I want to pause here just in our message and just ask you a couple reflection questions. So put on your reflecting heart. Think about your life for a moment. How connected do you feel to God right now? How connected do you feel to God? Do you feel lonely? Is there a friendship-shaped hole in your life at the moment? Now, what would it look like for you to reimagine your relationship with God as a friendship? Is that something that needs to happen for you? Have you been in some senses relating to God in a distant way, or do you sense that he's inviting you to reimagine your relationship with him as a friendship? What could that mean for you? What would that change? Finally, just like friendship is, in a sense, inconvenient, they take time. How might you need to inconvenience yourself to make room for a friendship with God? What would that look like for you? I think those are good questions to sit with. How connected do you feel to God? Do you need to reimagine your relationship with God as a friendship? And how might you prioritize that friendship? What might you need to do to make room for that friendship? Good questions to sit with. So the first point was connecting with God. Second is connecting others to God. Because our connection to God was never meant to stop with us. Just as friendship with God transforms us, friends of God transform the world. You know, sometimes people ask the question, if I focus on friendship with God, doesn't that make my faith too private, too personal? Like, it has nothing to do with the pain in our world? But it's actually the opposite. When you become God's friend, he draws you right into his heart for the healing of his broken world. We're not just invited to know God, we're invited to partner with him. That's why when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, sometimes I think God whispers in that moment, says, let's start with you. Why don't you join me in that? We're the answer to that prayer. One of the happiest things as a pastor is I love how we get to do this together as a church. We can do things together, as I've said many, many times, as a community that is more difficult for us to do by ourselves. Last week, one of our members of Parlant, Zoe Royer, was visiting in our first service, and she said after the morning together, she said, I am so in love with what your church is able to do for our larger community. Thank you for serving your neighbors. She was so happy about that. And I got to say, it's just such a joy week in, week out. I do a walkabout on Wednesday mornings to take a tour of what's happening in our food bank, and I am blown away by the generosity and the love that is poured out through our volunteers as they package food and as they treat those who are struggling with great dignity. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that happens downstairs here on Wednesdays as we seek to serve hungry families. And then on Friday, you show up here on a Friday, and we have our English learning program where we're helping new Canadians learn English so that they actually can get jobs and move ahead here and flourish in Canada. And it's, how good is that? It's awesome. Soon Alpha will be meeting on Wednesdays, as it often does here. It's done that for about 25 years at Hillside. What an opportunity we have to help people grapple with the largest questions of life, ones that often we're distracted from. It's so good. I think of our ministries to the next generation, to our children and our youth, and I'm, again, so encouraged by the many volunteers who serve in those areas and in the way they just seek to actually make faith real for children and for youth and young adults. It's so good. I love that we have great staff in those areas. Shout out to Kevin and Daniel for leading the charge on those things. I love that we've adopted Centennial High School to pray for, like that this high school that's just a 3 or 4 blocks away that we've adopted, that we are going to be praying for this year and believing for its flourishing. What a great thing that is. I love how our ministry stretches globally. I'm grateful for our global ministries and workers that we partner with who are sharing the good news of Jesus, sometimes with words and sometimes with kind actions, in some of the hardest places in the world to spread the news about Jesus. I think of our partnering with Journey Home Community. Shout out to the Ride for Refuge. I'm riding this coming October 4th. I'm really grateful to do this because last year I had heart trouble. And it's the first time in many, many years that I didn't get to do the ride, and this year I get to do the ride. Are you going to come with me? Come on, peeps. This is going to be so good. I actually sent out emails last night and this morning inviting you, some of you, to give towards my ride. So please, like, just if you have a place for an extra 25 or 50 or 100 bucks, go for it. Great ministry, Journey Home. I love that we've pooled our resources together to sponsor a refugee family from Burundi. And I got news for you, friends. We got word this week. They've been approved and are coming. If we're happy, think how much more Esther and Thierry are. Esther's mom and dad and her 4 brothers. We started this sponsorship process about 3 years ago. And together with some of her extended family, we've raised close to $70,000. But get this. This family has been living in refugee camps for close to 30 years. And I know we can't help every displaced person on the planet, but we can make a difference for some, can we not? I'm so glad. And we'll keep you posted on how we can help. And there's going to be great opportunities for us to love on them. I think it's going to be amazing. The Black contingent of our church is going to be multiplied just instantly on a Sunday morning. I love it. We need more Africans. So good. What an honor and difference to do this as a community together, to show the goodness of God. Together we're seeking to help grow and connect people to God. And I encourage you to consider serving in any of these ministries. There's always needs, and our vision is really to pool our talents, our abilities, our energy, our finances, so that we can make a difference that will be lifelong and beyond. And what an honor and privilege to do this personally. For many years, we've been urging you to be a light where you are, to be intentional and thoughtful about loving our own neighbors and friends and family and coworkers and classmates, seeking to be a witness of the good news of God's love in Jesus for the people we live near and have proximity to. What could that look like? Well, because we're all different, it's going to look different depending on how God wired you and who you're connected to. But how could you help connect others to God? I want to really quickly here, three quick things: through your prayers, your words, and your actions. Through prayer, I have three rocks that are sitting on my windowsill in my office. And a few years ago, we encouraged to pray for three friends regularly, but and picking three rocks. Anybody do that? Anybody involved in that? Remember back in the day? I loved it. I thought it was such a great thing. And it's been a memory to me of three individuals that I've been praying for almost a decade now. Earlier this year, someone who no longer even attends our church reached out to me and said, "By the way, Derwin, I've been praying for those three rocks, those three friends, for all these years. And I want to tell you, God has broken into their lives like you would not believe. Two of them have given their lives to Jesus and are following him with a robust Christian faith, one of whom is well on the way, and God has done great things in their lives. Why? Because I believe this friend prayed for her friends and her neighbors. And when we persistently pray and ask God for something, it's like the widow who asks in that story of Jesus, you know, that persistent prayer for something really matters. And so we pray for our friends. It might actually look like praying with our friends. And when you have a friend who's in trouble, you can actually say, "Hey, can I pray for you? How can I support you through this?" And we pray. Prayer is an important way to help connect people to God. Secondly, through words of blessing and encouragement. This is really simple. Wait for it. Get in the habit of saying nice things to people. Like, right? Like, I mean, this would just make your life better with the people you know, this would make our church better. Just get in the habit of saying encouraging words to people, words of blessing to people. Do we not live in what I would say a very negative culture at the moment? Are we not, I think probably most people in this room are a little bit affirmation starved. What if you decided to go about your life and just say kind things to the friends and neighbors? What if, in terms of relating to the next-door neighbor that you have or the people that live down in the same apartment, that you, when you bump into them, it's not just a quick hi. My friend Jordan Polson called it minute-longer conversations. Like, take that conversation 1 minute longer than you have time for. Like, literally listening and speaking and encouraging. There's power. Our words have power. Thirdly, through acts of kindness, say this is where the sky's the limit. What has God given you? Margaret, you can make blackberry pies. Seriously, why I haven't seen one in a while? You could. Save it for your neighbors, okay? How can you show kindness to the people around you, the people you work with, the school classmates that you have? How can you show kindness to them? How can you be a friend in all kinds of ways through, you know, prayers, our words, and our actions, helping connect other people to God? What a beautiful thing. How beautiful it is when people bring good news. Amen? Finally, we'll be quick on this one. We're called to connect with one another as a community of believers. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." By the way, I've been trying to live that verse in this sermon. I've been trying to spur you on toward love and good deeds. Let's keep doing that. This is not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Christianity was never meant to be a solo project. It's more like a boy band than a solo act, right? It really, really is. It's team. It's all that. From the very beginning, church has been a family. Acts 2, 42 to 47 describes the early believers. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to breaking bread, to prayer, and to sharing everything they had. And what was the result? They were strengthened, encouraged, and their witness to the world was powerful. This week I saw a clip of John Mark Comer being interviewed, and he was talking about why we sin. It was a thoughtful interview. And he said, we sin because we believe a lie that we'll be happier if we do things our own way. But underneath that reason is actually we're unhappy. And then he said something that hit me. He says, one of the best antidotes to sin is to actually build the most joyful life that you can. Like, wow, that's good, isn't it? And here's the connection. Alan Shore, a neuroscientist at the University of California, says that joy is all about relational connection. And he describes it like this. He says, real joy is what you feel when you walk into a room and you lock eyes with somebody that you love and their face lights up because they are glad to see you and you're glad to see them. In that moment, you think, boy, I'm so glad we're together. That's joy. And here's the beautiful thing. We get to practice this joy right here in community. And joy grows when we get to know each other, when we move beyond surface connection into real friendship. For me, that's happened in my life group. I love all of you. But I really, the deepest joy comes as I've walked closely with just a few of you. That's what we want to build as a church. We want to build a joy-giving community, not just digital connections, not just Sunday hellos, but real relationships where our lives are knitted together. And that's why we keep pressing into this value again and again of family. We're a family together, forming spiritual friendships, ministry teams, multiplying life groups so that we can actually do life together. So here's my invitation to you this morning. If you're not connected, take a step. Find a place to build those spiritual friendships. I'd say this, if you haven't done Alpha yet, that's a great place to start. Do Alpha. It's set in a relationship context over a meal together every Wednesday for 9 weeks. It's so good. Maybe it's a life group. But don't miss out on the joy that comes when God's people walk together as friends of God and friends of one another. So friends, we were made for connection. Connection with God, who is the source of all life. Our life doesn't make sense without Him. And then we're made for connection that points other people to God, to help others along the way through serving together as a church, and then personally through our prayers and our words and our kindness. And then through connecting with one another in community where we find strength and courage and joy for the journey. Does that sound okay? Love it. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. I'm going to invite the team to come on up. Our prayer team, I'm going to invite you to come on up as well. I wonder this morning, if Jesus were to walk in the streets of our city today, I can imagine Him saying, come to Me, all you who are lonely, and I will give you friendship. I wonder for some of you this morning whether you're hearing an invitation from God to enter into friendship with Him. Maybe for you, you really have never said yes to Jesus. Jesus is someone you're considering and you've been thinking about, but you've never kind of crossed the line into a place of faith where you kind of put your hope in Him and enter into a relationship with Him, with God through Jesus. You can do that today. It's just a prayer. You kind of submit your life to Him and invite Him in. Ask Him to forgive you for where you've messed up and allow Him to begin to change your heart and your life. You can do that. Friendship is on the table for everyone. But I wonder, for many more of us, where God's wanting to have you press into or lean into this idea of friendship with Him. And maybe you just got into a groove where God's a little bit distant. You haven't pursued Him in a while. You haven't sought. Maybe he's inviting you to inconvenience yourself in a new way so that you might have a new level of friendship with him. Let's take a moment. If God is speaking loudly and clearly to you today and you sense that this invitation is for you, sometimes it can be really helpful for us to, in a moment of inspiration where it seems like God is speaking, to cement that moment by doing something. So I'm going to invite you to do one of two things. And this is going to take bravery. We are Canadians. This is hard for us to responding is difficult. But I'm going to invite you to stand where you are or to come to the front to receive prayer. If God is inviting you into a new level of friendship and you just sense that this invitation is for you today, I'm going to invite you right in this moment to stand where you are or come to the front. For each of us, Lord, as we hear your invitation and as we respond, would you move in our hearts? Would you strengthen our faith? Help us take whatever steps you're inviting us into. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.